got a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, we're starting about a minute early because Lewis can't add, which is actually probably my fault because I'm supposed to teach him how to read time. So this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on U Broadcast via DutchJones.tk and a couple other places that, well, frankly, I'm not even sure all the places that we go out. I got to move the mic stand here so it's not vibrating against the computer. There we go. So we try and do a show Monday through Friday here on U Broadcast for 2 hours, and then the second hour is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on Liberty Tree Radio. So the second hour is a little different than the first hour. First hour is a little more laid back because it's my regular folks. It's friends, church mates, people that have been listening to the show for the past 2 or 3 years that know me well and know what's going on here and follow through with good questions, good comments. Now, if you want to communicate with us here, you can call us at 559-561-8225. And you can also email me, but I don't always get to the email during the show. But the email is DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Remember, spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. Please remember, if you want to check out some videos and stuff, go to DutchJones.tk. DutchJones.tk. We also have a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and you simply enter Dutch Jones, it'll come to us and you'll be able to say, hey, add me, I'm a listener. We've grown a lot there. A lot of Europeans are listening and signing in. We got an email yesterday from someone from New Zealand that's listening, and that was pretty cool. So we're all over the place. You know, my words land on sympathetic ears, I hope. People that want to learn, people that want to share, all over the place. So it's great to me that we have this opportunity. The founding fathers had the committees of correspondence. They had to use a printing press. Things got out days later. Information spread slow, pretty much the speed of, you know, how fast a horse could ride. Or they didn't have teletype back then or any of the technologies that came later. So now we have this technology, the modern-day campfire. This is where we decide how we're going to restore the republic, where we are going to, by the grace of God, restore liberty in this land, in the United States, and hopefully our brothers and sisters that listen overseas will take our example and spread it to their nations. But we focus mostly on what's going on in America. Sometimes I'll talk about Africa or Europe or, you know, China, things like that, Asia. But predominantly we focus on the issues at hand in America. Predominantly, we have a militant Christian worldview. I should say it the other way, a Christian militant worldview, because Christ comes first. No king but King Jesus in our eyes and on our lips. We use that. That is the official motto of the American Revolution, or our later second war for independence, the war of federal aggression against the southern states, the Confederacy, Deo Vindicie, which is God will vindicate. We like that one also, but we push forth the fact that for a militia to survive, it must be in the face of God, coram Deo. And you may get tired of me saying that, but the email I'm getting are saying, keep driving it home, keep talking about it. The two things that I get the most comments on in my email, and I get well over 100 emails a day now related to the show, is push having the moral high ground. You know, that we are fighting for a higher cause. Liberty is God-initiated, Jesus Christ. And the other thing, people say, stop saying God because God could be anything. Well, if I slip up and say God, you know, it must be pushed that I am Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I'm a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. And number two is promote networking between these righteous militias and to work together to build our energy, to build our forces, to make it... Where's the water at? Can you grab the water over there? Make it a brotherhood and sisterhood of resistance. You know, still coming from the moral high ground. And that tends to be the hardest thing, isn't it? You know, I'm just going to jump right into it here. If people aren't going to call, it's 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225 if you want to call after my opening statement here. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. I've got a few emails and news articles that I can bring up. And let me get a drink of water here. I got a call right before I went on the air, so I didn't get to... I usually drink about a half a gallon of water before I go on the air. Today we had a lot going on here, and I'm going to share that with you. We have a major law enforcement activity going on around us, not focused on us, but we know that we're on their minds of targets of opportunity. So we're on high alert here at our facility, and we'll talk about that later. But what comes to mind is the best way to say it in the modern phraseology would be: you need to know who's got your back, and you need that person to know that you have their back. There's a certain kind of camaraderie, esprit de corps that needs to be established long before you ever even train together. And sometimes training builds it, but I'm talking about serious training. I'm not talking about just getting together once a month and poking holes in paper. I'm talking about goal-oriented, tactically-oriented training. I don't want to run around with live rounds and weapons with people that I don't know behind me in the column. I don't want to stack to clear a room knowing that the guy behind me has again and again and again failed to properly understand the tactics that were being taught at the time. So is there is a thinning out of the cadre, you know, reassigning people to things that maybe it's better that they do rather than handle a weapon. That's not going to happen if we don't interface with each other. That's why I'm really pushing our conference in October. Told my pastor about, you know, I'm pushing it on the show, and I'm hoping that a large volume of my listeners that come to this venue every day will be here. We'll make a sacrificial pilgrimage to a Christian militia conference. You know, nothing's easy anymore. Everything's hard. We were just talking to a brother earlier today. We need to go to the border and stand there for a while. So we got to put together some money and some time, and we got to go stand on the border with our brothers and sisters down there. So we've got to stop piddling over the each other and start focusing on working together. We went to a meeting right after Hutari was scooped up to a place a little north of here, more of the northern valley, you know, upper valley. We're Central Valley. A meeting, and there were probably 8 or 9 different militia groups there, about 50 or 60 people, maybe more. We showed one of our videos. We tried to press the flesh and talk to people, but we found out later through some people that we liked that talked to us later, they said that we intimidated everyone because we were really motivated. We moved in a group. We didn't split up as we mingled around this property. You know, we treat everything as a tactical situation now because of what happened to Hutari. And we had some people, you know, that reached out to us, actually only 3 out of that 50 or 60 people. And then the organizer, of course, has reached out to us. But the comments were like, well, we don't want to get involved with the Christian militia after what happened to Hutari. We don't want to get our name on a list. We don't want to be associated with anybody that may be next to scoop up. Whereas our attitude is, if one of our neighbor militias, say like the Exeter militia or Fresno or somebody, and we knew that they were engaged in a standoff situation, we've got standing orders to assist them. That's what we do. If it's within our area of operations. Now, even what happened with Hutari, that night, we put together a group of people. We were sitting in this room listening to the reports coming from the intelligence report from Mark Kornke. And we said, okay, sounds like we got to put some people on a train. And if we have to, we'll send them out to Michigan to help out if we have to. We were ready to do that. I don't know of any other militias other than, you know, the bigger ones, you know, like Mark Kornke's group and stuff, that would be willing to do that. And it's sad. It really is. I've talked before that we only have a couple national leaders, people that we would follow. But we're not going to be able to develop those leaders unless we work together regionally. You know, I'm really strong with the Christians that come here. Like I said, we get 250 to 280 that show up to our conferences, and let's say half of them will actually put their money where their mouth is when the doors start getting kicked in. You know, will actually stand in the gap. That's still pretty good. I'm impressed with that number. We have people all the time that are approaching us and saying, we like what we're hearing. Are you stop doing that, Lou. Stop plugging in and unplugging. It's taking the, it's messing with the levels. There are people coming to us now saying, can I stash stuff in your house? One, that tells me that they trust me. And I say, as long as it's legal stuff, you're not setting me up. Don't bring any Semtex or anything stupid like that up. You know, they just want to store food and tangible supplies with us. So that tells me that they trust us. And two, that they're thinking ahead. They're realizing, hey, I'm not going to stay in the urban environment. I'm not going to be a lone wolf. I'm not going to be able to make this work, I think, without help from outside. And for one, the Lord wants us to fellowship in all things. Why not the tactics of war? We are to fellowship in the tactics of war. And you can study all the Bible wars in the Old Testament and look at the way they were done. I mean, even Gideon, you know, he had to trim down his military to 300. Was it 300? Was it the last? I got a headache right now. I needed to take some aspirin. Go in the bathroom and get me some the aspirin that's on the sink. It says Ecotrin on it. And so there is going to be a trimming down to those that are suitable for warfare. I understand that. Not everybody's going to be a warrior. I've already told you candidly that I'm not in shape to be a frontline soldier. Give me some garrison duty, you know, that kind of stuff, if there is a garrison to be defended. I'm a tactician, I guess, now at my, you know, if possibly. But in the old days, I mean, each little community in colonial America had their militia centered around their church, mostly. And every Sunday, they do their events, they do their stuff, you know, training, and then after church, they do their mustering and stuff like that. But when things got bad, then they started working together, didn't they? And that's why it took a while. Excuse me while I take my medicine here. It took a while to get them whipped up into shape. We should learn from that. Why do we wait until the shooting starts for us to get together? The same things are the cost. We have this. We're risking the same things. I mean, I know that there's colonial Marines in California. I know that there's the Armenian militia here. I know that there are medical militias. I know that there are groups all around me that I've had contact with, but since Utari, they've been afraid to even talk to themselves. I go to the forums for California. I go to AWRM and look around there, and there's the same four or five people from California. Those are the ones that aren't afraid. But the rest of them, they're just like, oh, I'm just going to stick with my family group. Excuse me while I take these pills. Oh, that's much better. Hopefully this will kick in. I just got a headache, like, as soon as I got on the air. They must be focusing their death rays on me. Their pain generators. Microwave weapons, whatever it is. Of course, I shouldn't be sticking my head in the microwave to dry my hair either. But to the point, why should we wait until the shooting starts to at least build relationships? If it costs us a certain amount of money to bring a trainer in here, you know, to feed him, pay for his airfare, and then we each have to pay $100 a day. And we get 20 of our militia members, or I think it was 20 or 30 of ours, probably the biggest class we ever had was 30, for one class. And we only have two or three classes every 3 months that are paid professional instructors, not the ones I do. We have monthly trainings that I do that are free. Why aren't people showing up for those from the other militias that we contact? Well, the reasons I get is, well, we're afraid. How do we know it's not a roundup? We've been doing this since 1995 intensely. The church has been teaching this message since 1963, when Warren Lee Campbell started this church. If we were somehow here to take names and send people away, there would have been a lot of arrests by now, don't you think? So that kind of fear that keeps us from functioning means they win. We were talking earlier today in one of our little rap sessions that the scooping up of Hutari may have been a tactical disaster for them from the intel I'm hearing, you know, from listening to the intelligence report. You know, they didn't get everybody they wanted. They only got 9. You know, that's great. But the propaganda value of that was pretty effective. It struck fear into the hearts of a lot of, I don't want to say meek, I shouldn't say that. A lot of good men had fear planted in their hearts, and it can happen to good men. It's not just, doesn't mean you're a coward. What I'm saying is I'm imploring you to rebound from that. Here it's been over a month, and I still haven't got emails returned from our sister militias up here. Do you say sisters for militias? I know sister ships. Is a militia a sister? Well, anyway, our brothers in arms in this region, 90% of them haven't recontacted us. Some of them, I lost some listeners, unless they're just signing in as a guest and don't want their, you know, their stuff there. I've had a lot of government employees that got it, that, you know, prison guards, firefighters like that, that were listening to me pretty consistently and sending me support and sending me email requesting training videos and all that kind of stuff. And as soon as Hutari hit, they disappeared. They were like rats from a sinking ship. Now, there's one argument that says, well, we don't need those people if they shake that easily. And there's some value in that. And then the other side of it is now's the time to bolster their courage. Shoulder to shoulder, standing in the gap. Right now, the entire church we're reading two books right now. We're reading America's Providential History, and every Wednesday night we're going through the study, and then we'll upload Wednesdays tomorrow. We gotta convert the audio and upload it tomorrow, so you'll be able to hear last Wednesdays for those of you that are playing along at home, following along at home. And then the second book that everyone in church has been requested, and pretty much I don't think anyone is not reading it, is Patriots give me the author's name again.
James Wesley Rawls.
I always mess it up. James Wesley Rawls, and I'll be rereading it as soon as our copy comes in. I read it years ago, and I'm already seeing the effects in our group. People are going, man, I need to double up. Oh, man, I need to reinforce this. I need to do that. I need to learn about this. These are the things I need to focus on. We're already to the point where we are no longer leaving this church alone, leaving our compound. I hate it when I use the word compound. It's a military thing in my head. Leaving our ranch, our Christian ranch here, alone. We go out in groups now of 2, 3, 4 because we know that if they want to get us, we have to make it as tough for them as possible. And if you're listening, you know that already anyway. So I guess in my opening 15 minutes here, I'm here to encourage you to not live in fear. To not let them win without even firing a shot by causing you to not take action. Third Sunday of every month, we have training here in the church. Coming up in June, the third Sunday in June, I don't know the date, I don't have it in front of me, but you're all big boys, you can look it up. We're going to be dealing with heat casualties. And we'll do some, you know, I'll be giving a class on how to deal with heat casualties. Maybe we'll get El Doctor to come up here. If you're listening, El Doctor, I'd really like to have you come out for that one. Maybe we could do some battlefield triage tactics, because, you know, heat casualties I can cover real quick. Treatment's pretty simple, and you know the indicators are there, and it's just a knowledge class. I mean, our last one last Sunday, I had a guy come, I don't know, 4 hours away to sit in on our refresher long range shooting class, to go through my PowerPoint type presentation and to shoot the simulator. And if anyone who came to that still having problems with the simulator program we gave you, email me and let me know. We've only had one person say that it wasn't working right. We personally went through every one of them and tested them, so they're working fine. So bring your laptop when you come to church next Sunday, we'll make it work. Or we'll shoot your laptop because there's something wrong with it. We're offering these things to you folks, especially the third Sunday stuff. You come to church on Sunday with us, you'd be here at 10 a.m., you listen to a hardcore, gospel, militant, Christian, patriotic message, because that's what we give here at the Church of Kuwait, from our pastor, who I love dearly, Warren Mark Campbell. You saw them in To Teach Them More. And then chow with us. We have a pitch-in dinner. If you're a guest, don't bring anything. We supply it here for you. And then we do our class. Sometimes we're out in the hills. You'll know ahead of time. This next one will probably be out in the field. Because by June, the third week in June, it gets pretty hot up here. We've had some... This global warming has been playing with our minds because it's been incredibly cool, and I'm loving it. Getting a lot of work done. And when we have our basic introductory firearms classes, and I have as the training officer, and I have the authority of our militia leader, my commander, my chaplain, my pastor, my friend, my brother in Christ, Warren Mark Campbell, and he'll tell me, hey, We've got 5 slots open for outsiders because we have a minimum we have to do to make it worthy for the instructors to come in from where we're bringing them in. So if you want a basic tactical pistol, tactical rifle, long-range rifle shooting class, and we've got 4 slots open, I'll advertise it here. And you have to contact as soon as you can, pay your deposit, and show up. Now, lately we've had bad luck with outsiders. Not this last class. We had some great luck with outsiders this last time. We made some new friends. And if you're listening out there, we'd love you to come back. But we had a lot of people commit to a pistol class, and they didn't show up. And I know things happen, but, you know, please make the commitment. What is more important than defending your family, your faith, your nation, and restoring the republic? What could be more important than that? If you don't have money, I understand. We have a Patriot Fund here. If you just can't afford it, but you want the training, talk to our pastor. We have some benefactors that are up there in years that realize that we're going to be the ones responsible for their security and their safety, so they'll put forth the money. We have little scholarships. Most of the training's $200, folks. It'll be 2 days, $400 for a 4-day intensive. Like we had our advanced carbine class, that was $400, about 600 rounds. The biggest expense is usually the ammo. We've been doing a lot of airsoft stuff, so the opportunity's here for you. But there's a courtship period too. We want to get to know you. We want to make sure that, you know, we have to be diligent too, just as well as you have to be. But across this nation, I know we're not the only people doing this. I know that for a fact. So if you're in Missouri and you're going, man, I wish I could get there, find, seek, search, test the waters. And if there is nobody in your area, you start doing it. And if you want help with it, call me. I'll send you our training stuff. I'll put you in touch with our instructors. Our instructors will go anywhere in America to train patriots. I'm telling you, we've got 2 of the greatest trainers working right now in the free world. These people train the best of the best militarily, but philosophically they're on our side. And they know what's going to happen. They come from nations, they come from Europe where these things have already happened, that they've seen them happen, they've lived through them, and they know, and they're trying to help us stop it here. And if we can't stop it, they're trying to help us survive that iron boot that's going to be put on our neck. So the whole purpose of the show is to encourage you to fellowship, outreach, train, prepare, pray. Not necessarily all in those orders. I say pray first. I should have said it first today. We do what we can and let God decide. But we have to show up. And we have to love one another. And we have to reinforce one another, and we have to build each other up. No more bickering, no more complaining about this guy said this about me, this guy said that. You trim the dead branches from the tree and move on. You know, I've got people reaching out to me now that I used to hate. I mean, yeah, I'm a Christian and I hate. I admit I have the sin of hate in my heart. And now they're reaching out to me, and I'm thinking, well, maybe now's the time to reestablish that relationship. Because we're in it for the same thing. We're in it for the same goal. And unless we do that, and if we don't do it soon, it'll be too late. It may already be too late, but I'm still going to try. I'm going to do the things that I'm doing with the men that I stand with and the women behind us, no matter what you decide to do. Why not join us? Why not be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? I know I hate using cliches like that, but that's what's going on. So, enough on that. I've done 21 minutes, and I hope I didn't annoy anybody, but I think it was imperative that I got that out. Because I'm just seeing a lot of fear out there, and I'm hearing a lot of fear in people's hearts and in their voices when they call me. The solution to fighting fear is faith and building through teamwork and esprit de corps. The solution's there. Well, we got something unique going on here in our little town. This morning we woke up, went to do our things. My vehicle completely failed on brakes. I couldn't even stop us from going down the driveway without engaging the emergency brakes. So that was kind of a strange thing to happen. I thank the Lord, you know, it didn't happen later on the road somewhere. Go careening off one of the mountain roads up here. But we're in the area talking to one of our teammates up here, and we noticed this highway patrolman just kept going by in a white car. Highway patrol never comes up here. Just not enough revenue generation for them. So then one of our friends was downtown, and they said, hey, there's a bunch of law enforcement, looks like federal agencies, staging at the grocery store. So, of course, the hair on the back of our neck goes up. Then we started getting phone calls from people. Hey, we're seeing cops everywhere. What's going on? Why are there cops? You know, they're from every law enforcement agency in the area. So I'm thinking, here it is. This is it. It's either a drug raid up here for one of the marijuana fields, but usually that's early in the morning associated with aerosol and deuce and a halves. They'll come in with multiple helicopters and deuce and a halves full of SWAT teams to do that. We didn't see any of that. These were just cruisers, no air support. Well, we went looking for them, observed them, watched what they were doing, and it appears to what was going on is that there was a pre-staging for a Hell's Angels rally going on up here in one of the campgrounds. A bunch of Hell's Angels coming in. I talked a little bit about that earlier this week about, you know, motorcycle gangs and stuff like that. Kind of a coinkydink. I almost said coinkydink. I did say it. Coincidence. But while they're up here, these officers are pulling people over, hassling everybody because they got to help pay for this coverage. And I guess what happened is the advance party of the Hell's Angels came in, set up a tent, reserved the hotel rooms, reserved the campsites. So there's this show of force going on. And what surprised me is that everybody thought automatically they were here for us, and a few of them called us to give us early warning, which was kind of nice. You know, it's always good to know when somebody's, you know, going to be kicking in your door 1,000 yards away before they actually get to the door. But what was unique about it is that it looked like it was really happening. And I was with my pastor when it happened, and then one of our other guys was out scouting, and he called me, and then one of our female members, we have female militia members, they just have different roles, called me, and we started getting reports in, and we're like, okay, there was no fear. Pastor said, well, if this is the day, let it be so. I'm not going to say what we did, but we prepared, and then we went down and we watched them to see where they were going, what they were doing. And it became evident through more intelligence gathering that they were here for what they thought was going to be some big troubling Hell's Angels thing. Because for those of you that don't know, the Hell's Angels and there's another motorcycle gang called the Mongols that are kind of fighting over drug territory right now. And so there's some issues going on there. And it's not really important why, because that's their problem. But they were worried there was going to be some kind of turf war up here between these two groups. And so they're pulling everybody over on a motorcycle. And from what we saw, they were pulling over like Brazilian tourists who rented motorcycles down in L.A. and were touring the area. It was ridiculous what they were doing. But it was agencies from everything you can imagine, from park rangers to DEA to ATF to these green Dodge Chargers that were full of unknown agencies in them. But they had all the antennas on, and everybody was wearing BDUs and TAC vests. There were gang units from every city in the area. And as soon as people in the community that are on our side saw them, they just assumed they were here for us. And what was interesting is, the hair on the back of my neck went up, but I didn't feel any fear because I was like, this is God's will. If it's going to go down now, it's going to go down now. There was really nothing I could do about it. So that was kind of a nice little thing that kind of got my blood pressure up a little bit, got my pupils a little more like, hey, what's going on? And that's why I talked about what I did in the first 20 minutes of this show, because we don't know when they're going to come to the door. We got to be ready. And they're going to be here for the whole weekend. So those of you that are coming up Sunday to come to church on Sunday, make sure everything, make sure your taillights are working, your mirrors are on, because they're pulling everybody over. So our brothers and sisters that go to church here that are listening, there's your sit rep. They're out in force. We're looking at the skies for glints because they like to use that drone that they have now. The sheriff bragged about his drone that he has access to. So there's not even any chemtrails in the sky today. Maybe because their owner out here, they didn't want to mess with them. But you can see it every once in a while. You'll get a glint of something, and it's like, what's that? Why is something circling up there? And they claim it's how they find the marijuana fields through thermal imaging. But if you're coming to Three Rivers, Cahuilla this weekend, Just so you know, it's a bunch of bikers and law enforcement of all kinds here. Get the 30-second or 30-minute break ready if you can do that. So the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. Some of the things I want to talk about is the officer, SWAT team member in Michigan. I'm going to talk about that after the break. That it's funny the way that it says, officer's weapon accidentally discharges, kills 7-year-old girl in bed, sleeping 7-year-old girl. Weapons don't accidentally discharge. So the media in Michigan, and I'm sure the folks, in the second hour when we're talking about Liberty Tree Radio know more about it, but It's ridiculous how they sign automatically. Law enforcement is automatically right no matter what. It must have been a malfunction. And then they went back to search the premises, and they were like, hey, we found some stolen cars. And maybe your family was involved in crime. They were looking for a suspect in a homicide. Had nothing to do with it. They kicked in the door and then shot a little girl and killed her. And probably because she was a black or something, nobody cares about it. It's not really hitting the media a lot. If you guys are seeing it, let me know. But I'm not hearing it on our news. Not hearing it on our radio station that we operate up here. It's weird. So go ahead and roll the 30-minute break, and we'll be right back after this. Where is it?
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate of light. Cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror? Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain, reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should
turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Government is the
There's
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
Can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
New world order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency!
Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for...
That's Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we are back. I'm Dutch Jones, at least the person who speaks for Dutch Jones. We actually have Dutch Jones hidden away in a cave somewhere. I'm just a spokesperson. Welcome. We are live right now. It is the, what is today, the 21st?
Yes.
21st of May, 2010. Wow, this things are flying by. I guess that happens when you're older. Remember when you were a kid? And you left for Christmas break, and it seemed like forever before you went back to school, and summer break seemed to go on forever until those last few days, and they went by real fast. Now it's like, boom, 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 everything just flies by. During the break, somebody said in reference to, you know, our high law enforcement presence here this weekend and Hell's Angels being in the area, you know, make sure when you drive to church, you don't bring your motorcycle. They're pulling everybody over on motorcycles, even the tourists. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, it's a good point. Don't bring your motorcycle to church. And if you, you know, your chances of being pulled over by these jackbooted thugs is even higher. It's like we're stuck. We got the criminal motorcycle gang, and then we've got the criminals in uniform. So we're under siege. So we're just going to kind of lay low for a while. You know, keep an eye on them and just see maybe they'll attack each other. Well, before the break, I was talking about the tragedy in Michigan, in Detroit, where, and I'll read the article. I posted the link for the article that I'm talking about. There's several articles related to it, but I'll give you the latest. Michigan police search home where officer killed girl. Michigan State Police spent 6 hours searching for evidence at the Detroit home where an officer shot a 7-year-old girl to death during a raid. Now, the Detroit Free Press reports that Captain Harold Love said his investigators visited the duplex Wednesday to investigate what happened early Sunday when Ayanna Stanley Jones was killed by a police officer's bullet. No, she was killed by a police officer, not the bullet. And if you've seen pictures of this little girl, she's just a beautiful little girl. And it's just people who want to make this a racial issue. Oh, who cares? It was a black girl. That's just sad. The fact of it is, our police officers are killing children in this country. The report says police found two stolen vehicles in the backyard. How do you like that? They're vilifying, and I don't care what her parents did. I don't care if she had an uncle that was running a chop shop in the back garage. Does that give police the right to, one, shoot a child and then come back and vilify the family? Now, Detroit police officers have been hunting for a murder suspect during Sunday's raid. They arrested 34-year-old Chauncey Owens and arraigned him on a first-degree murder charge. They're making it sound like he was in that house. He wasn't anywhere near the house. Police say Stanley Jones' shooting's death was accidental. The family attorney general Jeffrey Feiger, says he doubts that state police can investigate the death impartially. Well, no kidding. No kidding. Well, now, this villain in this is Officer Joseph Weekly. He's a member of the Detroit Police Special Response Team, the CERT team, who, when I looked it up, he's had one other complaint against him for an accidental discharge during a raid. Nobody was injured in that one, and then he's had some complaints against him, but he's been exonerated in all those, and they're going to exonerate him in this as well. Now, people say, oh, you're rushing to judgment, you're rushing to judgment. Well, every other article that I Googled on this, they're like, officer's weapon accidentally discharges. Anyone that spent any time around weapons, the rarity of an accidental discharge because the weapon malfunctions without the manipulation of that trigger, one in a bazillion. I've never had a firearm. I've dropped firearms. I'm going to be honest with you. I have dropped firearms a couple times, and they didn't go off.
One to the national debt.
What?
It's one to the national debt.
Yeah, the odds are one to the national debt, whatever that is, Leaf says. That's a good one. A gazillion. Yeah, one to the national debt. And this is just another in a long line. I'm sure, you know, you folks could send me right now to the email, and if you have them, send them to me, to DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com, more examples of police brutality. Not, they don't even have to end in death, but this is insane. And this is Officer Joseph Weekly. I got his picture. I saved it. We need to save his picture. We need to remember this man. As this incident gets whitewashed and covered up, I mean, as soon as he kicked in that door, the cover-up started. We saw the other day in the other case where they shot the family dog and then terrorized the family. What's going on? See, you can go back, you know, these cops have not changed their tactics. Ruby Ridge, Waco, they love shooting children. And I this guy, you know, I wanted to see if he was a Gulf War vet or, an Iraqi war vet or something. Because that's the other thing they're doing, and we've talked a lot about that. They're bringing these steroidal, rage-induced, highly trained, highly wound up tight super troopers and putting them in our police force. I have a niece that says, you know, uncle, you don't have to fear the government. They're not going to kill your family. I hope she's listening. I hope she hasn't said anything when I pasted this up on my Facebook page. I'm looking at this guy right now. He's a younger officer, and they placed him on desk duty. Now, if I had shot a child in the face, well, let's say I had someone break into my home, and I chased them into the home next door and kicked in the door next door and accidentally shot a child in the face trying to pursue this burglar who, you know, do you think I'd be on desk duty somewhere, or would I be underneath the jail? And then the comments. You know, Yahoo lets you post comments, you know, and there was a poll that said, do you think this officer did anything wrong? And like 78% said no. The brainwashed public think, well, if he's wearing a badge, he must be right. And they're just gonna let this go. Mark my words, he will not be found guilty. Has anyone heard anything about the last summer shooting in Oakland on the subway? What do they call that? I can't remember now. The subway deck, you know, where you line up to go onto the subway, where on video, an officer pulls his gun and shot a man between the shoulder blades and killed him for asking, what did I do? You hear anything more about that? No. When officers murder civilians, it disappears in the media. There'll be a couple days of this. They'll mediate it. They'll justify it in the press. And it'll just go away. I played a song the other day about the children at Waco that were killed at Carl Klang Sings, and somebody got in there and said, this song sucks, I don't want to hear it. Take it off. This is terrible. I said, it's about the children that were murdered at Waco. And this person's like, oh, that's so yesterday. That's so long ago. Who cares? The Pentagon spends $2 billion a year just for cyber trolls, PennDOT says. That's true. They're the ones leaving these comments to kind of direct the comments in the polls. It's a psychological warfare. Now, I hate it when you see like that deputy sheriff that was shot down on the border by an illegal alien. Not all cops are bad. I tend to paint with a broad brush on a lot of things, and I admit that. But when you got a pig like this that has done it before, that shoots a child in the face while she's sleeping, That tells me several things about the department he belongs to. One, they don't train him very well. Two, they don't do psychological analysis on him to see how they handle the stress. If he did accidentally discharge us, if it was, you know, intentional, maybe the little girl moved. It was a grandma and a little girl. Why did they have to kick in the door? You know, there's just so much. They love to use their SWAT teams, don't they? It makes these police chiefs feel good. And I can tell you it was the same way in the military. I can't tell you how many times when I was on the SRT team that the post commander would be having a party and he'd ask us to get into our ninja outfits, as he called them, and protect his party. So he could go, yeah, those are my security detail. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. I can't even fathom anymore accepting this. How America can just say, oh, well, it's just terrible, that poor little girl. But, you know, the cops get a tough job. He's out there protecting us. It's a thin blue line. That's a bunch of crap. Police officers are not there to protect us from anything. They're there to enforce the policy of the occupational governments we now live under. So they're called police officers. They're policy enforcement officers. They're revenue generators. They're not here to protect us. Call 911 and see how long it takes to come when somebody's thrashing your loved ones with a machete. It's your job to protect your family, not some idiot who flunked out of four-year college, went to community college for 13 weeks, and they gave him a badge. Or some returning veteran who learned to murder and kill overseas and take people's possessions and enforce unjust mandates, and then they automatically give him a job because, hey, he's a hero. Oh, he's a hero. Let's give him a job. It's like the cops that are up here today, you know, they're running around writing tickets for everybody. They'll claim, oh, we're here to make sure the Hells Angels don't hurt the community. Well, in that case, if you really don't want the Hells Angels up here hurting the community, why not just tell them to leave town? You're not going to do that. Because why? Because they're going to spend a ton of money up here. They've already reserved a campground and a hotel. They're going to be buying all the beer in every convenience store up here, right? They're going to be buying gas for those blah, 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 blah. What do they call those? Harley Davidsons? Yeah. That's all it's about is money. Money and control. Yeah. They got a law here in California that more than two motorcycles going together on the road, they can be pulled over and investigated for being a gang. Money and control. I got pulled over the other night. I'll keep talking about it. We thought you were kind of swerving a little bit. We had to pull you over to my wife, Stacy. Yeah. Had a lady here at church got pulled over. We thought you were going to cross the double yellow line, so we pulled you over. And yet they create a hero worship around them, don't they? A hero worship. Oh, God bless the men and women in blue, our public safety officers, our emergency workers, our soldiers, our sailors, our Marines, our Coast Guard. There's one guy, what is it? He's a national talk show host, Levin, some Jewish dude. Mark Levin, that's how he closes his show. Let me tell you something. Most of the public safety workers do those jobs for two reasons. The pension and the benefits. It's hard work, yeah, great, but they're not heroes. A hero is the guy who gets out of his car, who has no training at all, that sees the burning building and runs in and saves the family. That's a hero. A person who spends 24 hours a day eating, sleeping, breathing, training about fire is not a hero. He's a trained professional and that's it. He's not worthy of that kind of worship. And he's getting paid darn good to do it. Here in California, highway patrolmen, I think the starting salary is around $70,000 a year. And then they retire early, just like the prison guards and all that stuff here in the state. I don't know what it's like in other states, but I can tell you that's the truth. Olima is saying that she knew somebody that applied for a law enforcement job, and they do psychological reviews, and this person wasn't hired. I've gone through those psychological reviews. The ones that they are, they're MMI, I think they're called. And they're basically ridiculous tests. You're walking across the desert. You see a turtle on its back. Do you flip it over? Yes, no, maybe. That kind of garbage. Do you strongly agree, strongly disagree, all that kind of stuff. Cats going after birds in the tree. I've taken those tests, and I've been clear on them and stuff. And they're based on false stuff. False theories about how to find people out that are nuts. Because when you hang around law enforcement officers long enough, 90% of them are power freaks. They're junkies for being in control. Look at the way they act, even in their civilian lives. Do you know what the spousal abuse rates are for law enforcement? They're huge. Alcoholism, drug abuse, child abuse. But they cover it up. It's almost as bad as the Catholic priests. The cover up there. Give me my water. They stick together. They're a giant, great, big gang. In the end, he said that they didn't hire him, Olima saying. Now, I went to take a job at Target. And I applied for the job, and I made it to the next level, and they gave me one of these mental inventory tests, to see what your psyche was like. And they didn't hire me. So I said, what is it? I said, well, your scores came back that you're too biased, that you're not a team player, all this kind of stuff. I said, why? Because most of it was about shoplifting. Have you ever shoplifted? Would you shoplift? Would you ever pilfer? And I answered everything honestly. And then there were questions like, if you knew your coworkers were shoplifting, what would you do? And I remember I answered like I would go to them and tell them what they're doing is wrong. I guess what they want me to do is go to a supervisor and snitch behind their back. I wouldn't be a team player because I would confront people. There's just no rhyme or reason to it now. They're just looking for enforcers. I told you guys yesterday that I watched the Don't Tread on Me video, and there's an ominous section in there, one of the ones I liked, where it showed riot police going after protesters somewhere here in America. Could have been WTO, could have been anything. But it just showed them, and I've got the same training, where they do the foot drag and they bang their shields, a Roman phalanx, and they're banging their shields and dragging their foot because it's intimidating, psychological, to get people to disperse. And you look at the things that the cops do now, and our own media, even 20 years ago, were very critical of Cuba, China, Russia, Eastern Europe, where they were suppressing resistance and protest with violence. But now that they're doing it here in America, you don't see the media complaining about it anymore. You don't see the State Department going, we don't like what China's doing or what North Korea's doing, because we're doing the same things. We have now free speech zones. And they're basically cages so the cops can surround you and tear gas you if they don't like what you're doing. What's going on? Who's out there? Is that Mom? Wow, she's home early. Yay, Stacy's home. Got about 10 more minutes left in this, and we'll do a transition and a break, and we'll be back. Did you check the mail? Was there anything in the mail? No, we didn't get to. I can't drive the car. There's no brakes at all now. Uh-oh. Yeah, we're going to have Jim work. Jim, I'm going to get it to him tomorrow, and Jim's got some stuff to work on it. So, this nation is definitely in a police state now. We cannot deny it. We can no longer excuse it away. We can no longer justify it by saying, oh, but 9/11 changed everything. The things that we saw going on Tiananmen Square are going to start happening here in the United States. They're using so-called less lethal weapons on people that aren't even protesting yet in neighborhoods. During the World Trade resistant riots, whatever, the protesting, they were going through communities and using hearing damaging sound in neighborhoods. The people that lived there were prisoners in their own homes. We live in a police state. When they can shoot a 7-year-old girl on her couch in the face and the police chief says, oh, it was accidental, without even investigating, he just says, oh, it was accidental. They're doing roundups right now in Fresno. It's 50, 60, 70 gang members a night, and then they release them the next day. And then we go round up the same ones. It's training, it's practice, it's public relations to make it look like, oh, we're so much safer now. And they're even saying at the bottom of the articles now, Oh, but they were processed and released, except for, you know, 10 or 12 of the most violent. And then they'll be released at the county jail because it's overcrowding at the county jail, right? They brainwashed America into thinking that, you know, the high and mighty man with a badge is to be trusted. No. Andy Taylor's gone. He's dead. He was murdered by the kind of cop Barney Fife wanted to be. The Barney Fifes have taken over. That's probably, I just thought of that, yeah. The Barney Fifes have taken over law enforcement. That's what it is. And I've been a member of law enforcement. I'm here to tell you. I was a member of the terrorism early warning group. I went to the meetings in Los Angeles. All they care about is containment, power, and spin, and how they can get more funding by making the public like them more or need them more. I mean, look at how your law enforcement officers are equipped today. Look at them. We drive into Visalia, which is a little town, and they're dressed up like they're in Beirut. They're wearing tactical vests. They've got that taser on one side. They got the pistol on the other. They're wearing 30 mags. They got M4s in their vehicles now. And they say, well, it's because of gang violence. Well, how often do they really go after gangs in a violent manner? They conduct these gang sweeps at like 8 o'clock in the morning when they're all asleep, and they roust them out of bed. It's become routine for them. They know, oh, knock on the door. Time to go get fingerprinted and yelled at again by the popo. And then they release that afternoon to their baby's mothers. You don't see them going into Compton and Watts, you know, on a Friday night and stopping these drive-bys, do you? No. And just the tactics have gone up. Do you know that in California, if someone is trying to run you over with a car and you are a concealed weapons holder and you pull your weapon and shoot into that car and shoot the person driving the car, you are charged with second-degree murder because it is illegal to shoot into a moving vehicle unless you're a policeman. Policemen light up vehicles all the time in Los Angeles. They just did it last night in Fresno. Stolen vehicle, tried to get away, and they shot it up. I have a person that I know, I wouldn't say he was a friend, he was a work associate, that a 16-year-old kid tried to run him over. We had thrown him off the property. We were doing security for a high-risk Section 8 apartment building. And I wasn't working that day or anything, but he told this kid he had to go. He caught him selling pot on the property, told him he had to go, so the kid tried to run him over. So he shot one round through the windshield, hit the kid in the forehead, kid crashed the car. That security officer is now in jail for manslaughter. You know how they always negotiate everything down. Police can shoot into moving vehicles. Where's the logic in that? Because the way we were trained when I went and got my permits, they said, you can jump out of the way. You're more nimble than a vehicle. There's no reason to shoot into a vehicle. And I raised my hand and said, well, then why do we always see the police do it? Well, they're held to a higher standard. And I can tell you, I've studied it. There was a case where this guy committed some kind of felony, not even a violent felony, and as he was fleeing the scene, he kind of swerved at an officer. The officer shot into the car and shot the guy's children. I mean, who goes and does a crime with your kids in the car? I know, but does that mean the children are fair game? What are the basic rules? You never fire a weapon without knowing your target and what's beyond it. Shooting into a fleeing vehicle is just ridiculous. But yet they let the police do it. And let the police do it all the time. And let's not even talk about the violence that they focus in a SWAT raid. Well, yeah, let's talk about it. How many times have they done the wrong house now that we're hearing in recent history? How many times are they shooting up the house next door by accident? There's several cases in California. There's one great case that happened in Northridge. There's an individual, he was an ex-con, he was impersonating a U.S. Marshal. He had a stockpile of guns, they went to his house to arrest him. Shootout ensued. Everybody was there, because when this happens, everybody wants to get involved, from highway patrol to county, transit police, park police, they had everybody there, campus police. And they said he killed a highway patrolman in the shootout. Well, weeks later, after they burned the house down around him and killed him, ballistics showed that it was a sheriff's deputy that actually killed the highway patrolman because they were caught in a crossfire. And they lit up the houses around the guy. Civilians were jumping into their tubs. You know, modern tubs are fiberglass. It wouldn't really do much good for them. But that's what people were doing, pulling mattresses over them because they were caught in the crossfire. These Gestapo tactics are only going to get worse. worse, worse, worse. Have a song cued, Lou. I shouldn't have to tell you that yet. It's already like 3 minutes till. We're going to get ready for the transition to get over to Liberty Tree Radio. So we'll be looking for Ed to jump in here. And what we're going to do in the next hour, I'm going to talk about war in church history. We're going to hit the Christian message again. I think I need to do that more. And I expect if you guys have any input, please call in at the 559-561-8225. What we'll do is we'll play a song coming up here. And go ahead and start the music, Lou, if you want to. And then we're going to do the intro after the song. And we'll be back on Liberty Tree Radio. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be right back. I got to go hug my wife.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom and the soul of the USA. Might be right now, it's Independence Day. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, who lift us and heed us. We stand for what's right and stand up to what's wrong. We must take America back, now and forever, with God in His rightful place. Then He will bless and protect the U.S. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Guns.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back. We're back. I got to hug my wife and... should I make fun of what you're using for a bell? No, actually, it's kind of cool. I love my wife. She's using parachute cord for a belt. Yeah, she's going to use an extension cord tomorrow. She's like Jethro today. Hi, I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Family Experience coming to you live on ubroadcast.com and Liberty Tree Radio. We are here on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on Liberty Tree Radio, and Monday through Friday for a whole 2 hours on ubroadcast via dutchjones.tk. I like to share with you our Christian militant worldview. I try not to do too much repeating on what better men than I do, and I'm on Ustream also. That's U-S-T-R-E-A-M, Ed's reminding me. We actually checked that out after we went off, and is that you in the studio there, Ed? We saw a webcam up. We should be doing that here. Tuesday I was playing around with a webcam a little bit, but I was thinking we could do that. No, not right now, Lou. Don't turn it on now. My hair's a mess. Oh, that really? Wow. I thought I saw a reflection, and it looked like a younger man with a little bit longer hair and a goatee. That was it. Wow. Man. So anyway, this is the Dutch Jones Radio program. I'm really, really happy that we are on Liberty Tree Radio and we're reaching more people. I like the email. Okay, that was Ed with the long hair. I was thinking, you look like one of the Three Musketeers, I thought, when I saw that. the long hair hippie was you. Yeah, my hair is still in curlers, actually, Rocky Hill Ranger's noting. No, it's a mess. I spent the day trimming trees with our pastor and just kind of running around getting hit with branches and stuff, so I'm not at my best. But we're just sharing what's been going on here today, folks, in the last hour. We're going to move on a little bit now. We're going to get more into a global, more of a global message. And as I said at the beginning, we are, in fact, a militant Christian militia here, and we're very unapologetic about that. We're in a different vein than Hutari was. We're not an end times ministry. We don't knock the Hutari for being that way. I've conversed over the years with the folks from Hutari through YouTube. I've sent them my videos. I have very few. I've watched their videos. We've used their videos in our training sessions. I've shown them to people here in our militia. Stacy's typing over my shoulder to Rocky Hill Ranger in the chat room. So that's not me, that's Stacy. Let's see. So we want to make sure that people understand that's who we are. Now I'm going to be promoting until October our big conference that we have. It's a militia conference. It's a Christian conference. It's a history conference. We're doing our best to make sure that people know exactly who we are. And we're not going to back down from it. So one of the things that people always say, how can you be a Christian and talk about war? And we're like, okay, we can go into that. And then the other thing is we tell people we're not for these corporate wars that are going on right now with our unconstitutional standing army or the misuse of our state national guards, the bastardization of the militia being used to fight these corporate wars. And that really confuses people. Their heads start to swell and pop when I tell them that. So to start basic, I usually start out with them, say, well, have you actually read the Old Testament? It is a book of warfare. It's about spiritual and physical warfare. So we do what we can with the understanding that we have from the teachings of the Old Testament. I got to turn on a light here. I won't be able to read what I've my notes here. So I'm going to stand up. Excuse me, folks. And put on my broken eyeglasses. What? No, my glasses. It's going to be about 2 weeks. So next week, I went last week to get my glasses. I thought it was last week. Okay. I'll be getting my new specs. If you want to go down and check them out, go ahead. Was that me or you? Somebody hit the mic. So wars in church history. Often we hear the view that war is wrong. Wrong for the defenders as well as the aggressors. You hear that all the time. That war is wrong even when waged with the sincere purpose of defending the innocent and restraining evil. How many of you have heard that? War for any reason. Violence at any reason. Defending yourself from a rapist is wrong. You should just lay there and take it. Yet much of the religious and political freedoms which we take for granted were won through wars approved of by the churches in those days in history. Even prior to the Christian church in the Old Testament, like I said. If the people of Europe had not resisted the Islamic invasions of the Moors and the Turks, then Europe would have been conquered, and Islam would have replaced Christianity in the mission-sending base from where our faith was communicated to us. Think about that. What if the early Christians in Europe hadn't resisted those folks, the Moors, the Muslims at that time? and for people to criticize us and say that you can't raise a finger in violence because you're a Christian. That shows two things: their ignorance of history and their ignorance of the Bible. If at the time of the Reformation the Protestants had not resisted the Roman Catholic oppression, then the persecutions which were practiced so freely in the Spanish, Italian, and other inquisitions would have become common throughout Europe. The Protestant faith would have been crushed. And I can tell you this, and I strongly believe this, and my apologies to our Catholic listeners, but had not the Protestant Reformation taken place, you would not have seen the growth of the Christian religion. Because under Catholic rule at that time period, it was illegal to even read the Bible. People were burned at the stake for it. And so the Protestants resisted. The very name Protestant means what? To protest. Martin Luther knew that. Families were burned at the stake for being found in possession of a Bible. So we should have just accepted that and let that happen? If the English Puritans had not fought under Oliver Cromwell, one of the greatest defenders of the faith, to establish the first parliamentary republic, then from where would have the cause of freedom have received its first example of the rule of law, lex rex? The law is the rule, not rex lex, where that the rule is the law, that the king is the law. If the American colonists had not fought for the rule of law and a constitutionally limited republic, then there would have been no United States of America. Well, currently there is no longer a United States of America. It's just an oppressive socialist, Fabian socialist regime. Of course, in most wars, the guilt has been shared by both sides, and there have been many senseless and unnecessary wars in which neither side was all that concerned with righteousness. I'll admit that. Not all wars are holy wars or just. I would even argue that most of the Crusades were simply manipulated by the Papists, by the Jesuits, to deal with the burgeoning peasant population, to remove them from Europe, get them over there, they'll die on the way. Nevertheless, freedom is never free. It has to be bought with sacrifice and suffering. This quote from Peter Ham that I'm going to read you just resonates. You have never lived until you have almost died. And for those who fight for it, life has a flavor the protected will never know. And anyone that's, I don't care if you're a combat vet, I don't care if you were the victim of a mugging and you actually fought back and saved your life, if you've been involved in a major disaster and you had to scratch and claw your way to safety, whether your opponent was a human with two legs or a wild animal or a pack of dogs, until you've been in that situation and know how you're going to react, I don't think you really understand the value of life. Because only, I honestly believe this, I think only stupid, ignorant people that have never been tested try to enforce upon people like us that, oh, you can't fight to save your life, that's just wrong. Christians may desire peace, but we need to realize that there are worse things than war. The worst thing, war is hell. Patton said that, right? I'm sure a lot of generals have thought it. But there are a lot worse things than war. Such as the peace of a cemetery, or the concentration camp, or an eternity in hell. That's far worse than war, isn't it? War is not hell. Hell is hell, right? Being dead is worse than fighting for your own survival. Being rounded up and put in a concentration camp so you can watch your children wither away, watch your women be raped and molested, and you be forced to work until you die for someone else's cause. That is far worse than war. I would argue that cowardice is far worse than war. Living your life knowing that you ran and abandoned those that you should have sworn an oath to defend because you'd rather save your own hide than fight. That would be far worse to me than standing shoulder to shoulder with good men and women and resisting tyranny, right? Now, a lot of people say, well, the Bible teaches us to turn the other cheek and all that. These are what I call buffet Christians. They pick and choose the verses that they like. One, they have very little understanding or context. They take them out of context and they throw them in your face. I always say, well, where is that in the Bible? Now, I'm not good at remembering verses, so I always write them down. And then when I get into these arguments with people, I'll whip out my notes and go, really? Where is that from? Like, they always say, well, God says, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, it does say that. It doesn't say, blessed are the pacifists. It doesn't say, blessed are the cowards. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. And how does one make peace? Through force. And the Bible teaches us that. Now, the verse I'm going to give you, what's printed up in front of me is not King James. So I apologize to the purists among us. But we'll get the gist of it. And I think that even though I'm taking these out of a different translation, you'll get the gist. But I encourage you to look these up in the King James to get the exact verbiage from the translation into English. Judges 3, verses 1 and 2. These are the nations of the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. So you're telling me if war is wrong, so therefore God must be wrong. So if you're a Christian right now today, or you're an anti-Christian, and you're trying to put me in a pigeonhole, and you're saying, oh, you can't talk about militia talk. You can't talk about training. You can't own a gun. You're a Christian. Well, if that's the case, you're also saying that God's a liar and he's wrong, because right here in Judges 3, God specifically left certain tribes so that Israel would have opponents to fight with, so that they wouldn't grow soft like we have in America. Now, God's strategy for complacency is to train his people through conflict is much better than just training in practice. He wanted to have a constant state of threat on the early Israelites. The real Israelites, not like what's going on in Israel today. And that's because he loved his people so much, he wanted them to be sharp and physically and emotionally fit to face the problems of the world that were coming their way. Taught to trust God in battle, to be purged, purified, and prepared as soldiers of Christ was his purpose. Why would God have all these wars in the Old Testament? Why would he teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight if he did not want us to do those things? Is God training us to do things that we shouldn't do? See, you get caught in that question there, and they start to go, hubda, 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 hubda. And then you've got modern-day Christians, and I know them, and they go, oh, well, the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. We have a new covenant. Then why is it in the Bible? What was it Paul who said that all Scripture, or was it Peter? I always mess that one up.
2 Timothy.
Yeah, 2 Timothy.
3:16, I think.
3:16 says all Scripture is valuable, basically. And at that time, the Bible hadn't been put together, the New Testament. They were talking about Old Testament stuff. Now in Exodus 15, verses 3 and 4, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. It's right there in the Bible. Now when Jesus came down in the flesh as a man to sins, what are we taught? What would Jesus do? He was God. And we are to emulate him. And it says right there in Exodus, the Lord is a warrior, so therefore we are to be warriors also. Now, Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. Victory over the Amalekites by prayer and the sword. I'm not saying we diminish one side of it. So I'm not one of these guys that says, oh, it's all about the AR-15, the AK-47. No, we're to be balanced, spiritual warfare. It says right that in Exodus, victory over the Amalekites by prayer and by the sword. And people say, well, the sword means the word of the Lord. No. As Lou pointed out in a previous show, it's a lowercase s. Whenever they're talking about the word of the Lord, it's a capital S. It's a proper noun. Now, Deuteronomy, which is the most common book of the Bible used by the founding fathers, book 20, verse 1, when you go to war, do not be found faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight. Right there, it's pretty clear. I mean, that verse alone, it goes into what I was talking about in the first hour. For those of you on Liberty Tree Radio that missed it, I was talking about having courage in these days. Don't go dig a hole and hide in it. Fellowship with other militias. Be discerning, but don't stop what you're doing. Don't stop communicating. Don't stop showing up at conferences and trainings. We're not supposed to be fearful. We're Christian soldiers, whether you know it or not. You're being used by the Lord. Now, Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. The Lord is revealed as the commander of the army of the Lord. He's the commander of the army of the Lord. He's the commander of angels, which are in constant spiritual warfare with the forces of evil, with demons. That's the spiritual side of it, but he's also the commander of the wars on earth of his people. Now, they used to teach this in our military institutions, you know, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, West Point, of course. But starting about the mid-70s, they stopped teaching the fact that God had a hand in warfare. You know, you see stuff from World War II, like the great movie Patton, where during the Battle of the Bulge, when he has to go rescue the surrounded soldiers. But the storm is keeping his army from going. He gets his chaplain in there, and he says, write a prayer. And so he does that prayer, and then the weather clears, and he's able to move farther than any other army in history up to that point. Not until the first invasion of Iraq was that record broken. Joshua 6, verses 1 through 5. And guides the Israelites to victory over Jericho. What a great Jericho. Remember that story? They're all wonderful stories. I mean, look at David and Goliath. Did God send an angel and say, oh, David, don't hit that giant in the head with a rock. Make him dinner and negotiate. Use the Hegelian dialect to find common ground. Or even worse, it's better to be a slave to them. Now, there are times when Israel was abhorrent and disobeying God and they became slaves. That's a different doctrine. Judges 5, 16 through 18 and verse 23 kind of put together here. Deborah's song of victory rebuked those who failed to fight for freedom. Why did you stay among the campfires? Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Who are you to stay home when others are fighting, basically? That's what happened during the first American Revolution, right? Was it Mark Twain said in the beginning, a patriot is a rare thing? But and I'm ruining the quote, but I'm paraphrasing. But when the cause starts to go the way of the patriots, everybody jumps on board and said, oh, I was there. We're going to see a lot of that in the patriot movement. We're going to see a lot of that. A lot of the cowards that ran away because Hutari got picked up and they all went into holes and didn't want anything to do or associate with the movement. When this thing kicks off and we start to win, because I believe we will, I have faith in the Lord that he's on our side, they're going to come back out of their holes when it's no longer the cost of blood or reputation or losing their homes, and they'll say, oh, we're with you. We're totally with you guys. Oh, we love Liberty Tree Radio again. Bunch of cowards. Now, Judges 6 and 7 in there, it says, God directed Gideon to defeat the Midianites and rescue Israel from their power. God's always telling his people, go kill all their kings. Slaughter everything, even down to the smallest farm animal. Does that sound like turning the other cheek to you? It's all right there. It's in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Luke 22:36, I hit that all the time. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. The Lord tells us it's more important to be well-armed than warm. Now, in 1 Samuel 11, the Spirit of God led Saul and Israel to rescue the people of Jabesh Gilead. They're militias. We talk about Lot. When Abram put together his militia, all the men of his household had been trained in the martial arts, and they went. They were a militia. There were no standing armies back then. 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 23. It talks about how the Lord rescued Israel from the Philistines by faith, courage, and the initiative of Jonathan. It's all right there, and I'm not going to hand it to you. You people need to read the Old Testament. Remember in Gods and Generals when Stonewall Jackson was asking one of his staff to write a report, and his captain says, well, how do you do it? He goes, it's all right here in the Old Testament, son. Everything you need to know about warfare is right here. How even to write the after-action report is there. And this is what I'm talking about, the buffet Christians. They want to ignore these verses. And then I can't ignore the turn the other cheek, but I have to take it in context. Those are talking about slights against my character, against my person, in business. Not about somebody putting a sword to my wife's throat and saying, we're going to kill her because you didn't pay your tax. I'm supposed to just go, okay. No. I'm supposed to grab whatever I can next to me and bash the man's brains in. But if somebody comes to my door and says, we don't like the way you're keeping your lawn, we think you're a slob, and, you know, we're gonna make fun of you with the other neighbors, just go, okay, I don't get to punch him in the face for that, especially if I haven't been mowing my lawn. It's like people are so stupid today, they don't even understand the plain teachings of the Bible anymore. You go back to the 16, 17, 1800s, people were better educated, and they kind of got it. It's the dumbing down of America, isn't it? Now, this is the one I like, 1 Samuel 15, verses 2 and 3. That's where the Lord commanded Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, to decimate them. Look up what the word decimate means in the dictionary sometime. Decimate, look it up. He told him to destroy the Amalekites, the kings, everything. 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47, David was enabled by the Lord to defeat Goliath. I was talking about that. And we can expand on that. When he went to the river, the stream, to pick up the stones, did he pick up one stone or multiple? He picked up multiple. Goliath was the beginning. Goliath had a family of giants. And it doesn't go into it in detail, but we're led to believe by extra-biblical stories and legends of the time that he went and hunted down Goliath's family and killed them all.
He hit me.
Yeah, he was Special Forces. He was I look at that as the first recorded sniper in the history of ever. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did David, and this is where I'm going to lead this to, I wanted to stop with that one. How did David know how to do that? Did just suddenly, boom, he knew how to use a sling? No. He was the youngest of a family of herd keepers, right? They kept animals, sheep, goats, and predators would come after him. So his father or older brothers taught him to use a sling to protect the animals in the flock that he was shepherding over. It's very symbolic. So he was trained as a young boy to do this because he was the youngest of the family, right? That's why they didn't take him to begin with. David was trained in martial arts as a child, and we have to be commanded to do the same thing among our children. My boy's sitting here right next to me. The one thing he does best in the world is shoot and scoot, both with a pistol and a rifle. He's probably the best shot at the church. That's only because some of the women don't come to church anymore, the Seppi family. I'd like to see you go up against that 15-year-old Seppi girl and see who would win, you know, in a knockdown steel target competition. No, you don't. See, that's it right there. You don't be nice. See, even my own son's got that kind of mindset. No. When it comes to things martial, you do the best you can. I'm not talking about opening the door for her. David's family were trained in martial arts. It wasn't until they got to the battlefield that they had to be trained there. No. Earlier we talked about Cromwell. Do you guys know who Cromwell is? The Lord Protector of England? He was a Puritan leader who challenged the king who was trying to bring Catholicism in through the back door because of national debt. Cromwell had a militia. He first, in the first battle, he stood with the king's armies. And when he saw how miserably trained they were and what a sacrifice it was, they just threw the troops at each other in typical European battle. He went home and raised a militia of his own. He had a little bit of money. A nobleman might not be the correct word, but he was a landowner. And he defended the little guy because the kings were just staking out property and taking cattle and property under eminent domain. And he stood up against them. And for 7 years, he was the greatest leader England has ever had. Unfortunately, his son didn't have the same kind of courage and guts that he did. But he raised a militia to fight for what was right in his country, even though he went against the king. Actually, he actually arrested the king and had the king beheaded. Does that sound very Christian to you? Does to me. Does to me. We can learn a lot from Cromwell. Google Oliver Cromwell. I think there's some movies out on him, but you need to study him. You need to know what good men in the history of Christianity have done. It's mind-boggling to me that people think just because they call themselves a Christian, they check out of the responsibility to be patriots. I think a lot of people hide behind that steeple. You know, even you watch the history of Alvin York. He refused to go to World War I at first until he was educated properly. You know, oh, I'm a conscious objector because the Bible says thou shalt not murder. Okay, don't murder, but there's a difference between murder and killing. There's a righteous time to take life. for every season, you know, the Bible says a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill. I'm sorry, but it's in there. I didn't write the Bible. I know what we're commanded to do. And I know when unjust governments rise up over men, they are to be challenged. It's not just our right as Christian men and women to resist tyranny. It is our duty. Resistance to tyranny is duty, is obedience to God. You can't get out of that. Now, there are certain tribes, you know, back in the Old Testament that weren't allowed to fight, you know, but they had to support those that did. You know, if a chaplain chooses not to, but for me, the example of the battling chaplains of the American Revolution and the War of Federal Aggression speak to me loudly. And the duty of chaplains during the first war for freedom in America against the British, they started in the pulpits. Muhlenberg, the names are escaping me now, but as we go to the break, maybe I'll pull some books out of the library here. Just because you want to be a Christian doesn't mean you get to shirk your responsibility to be defenders of liberty. So many American Christians don't even understand that concept. And I am sick and tired of people ridiculing the activities of the church here, the activities of other churches like this, the activities of the militia movement that are Christians by saying, oh, how can you do that? You're a bunch of wackos. And I say it over and over again. Your ignorance of history and your sheer stupidity of biblical things and all things Christian does not make me or my people a wacko. My Patriots friends here. And it's funny, I mentioned it earlier, so many times because of their own stupidity, they attack others to kind of protect, to cover up, to camouflage their stupidity. They don't want people to know just how stupid they are. So they cover it up by attacking others. And I see it constantly, especially the stuff with Hutari. Anytime I even, in one of the forums I go in and I come out in support of Hutari, oh, you know, Christianity and the militia, oh, they're bringing a bad name to both. And yeah, I'm like, ugh. I just go nuts over that almost, you know, and I have to slow down before I respond. And we saw it was a test. They didn't get everything they wanted, they being the government, but they did some damage. And they made a lot of sheep go, oh yeah, let's make fun of the Christian militias. Bah. But the good thing it did for us is it let us see who out there is not going to stand in the gap. We had people leave this church a couple days after Hutari got picked up because they were scared. And we even reached out to them and said, have not fear. Do not have fear. That's what they want. And then they got mad at us. Oh, maybe we're doing the wrong thing here. Maybe we it's just useless. It's just us against the New World Order. They're too strong. They're too big. That was a good thing because we could see the color of their character. That giant yellow strip running down their back. That was a great thing for us. But they're going to come crawling back. Mark my words. All those people that abandoned those of us that are still standing in the gap, those people left, when things get rough, they're going to come back for protection. I don't know how we're going to deal with them. You know, we have to be forgiving. I understand that. But we have to be wise, too. I, for one, wouldn't trust them. I would have a multi-layered restoration of their character, let's put it that way. I wouldn't involve them in any of the reindeer games. I wouldn't allow them into any inner discussions. I wouldn't allow them to be privy to any training. I would give them tasks to make them prove themselves. You know, now I'm not talking about initiations or making them eat bugs or anything, but you understand. I like what Ed's saying. When they come back, give them a butter knife and tell them to come back with a rifle. I like that. I'm going to pass that on up the chain of command here. I like that. Yeah, especially if they come back with no materials. You wouldn't believe how many people that have been involved with this church for so long are saying, I just never got around to putting my stuff together. That shows a lack of faith and a lack of diligence. And then you get the other extreme. Say, well, I had faith in the Lord that he would pop stuff in my lap when the time came. Well, that's just ridiculous. I love that. Give him a butter knife and tell him to come back with a rifle. I told one guy, he says, well, if you want to come back, you better show up with like a fully stocked SWAT van. You know, then maybe we'll think about letting you in. But at the same time, because of Hutari, we have new faces coming to us and saying, man, I'm scared. I saw what they did to Hutari. And they could do that to me. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm militant, but I've been staying on my own. I've been quiet in my church. And it turns out my church doesn't want to hear about it. And I heard about you guys, so we came up here. What do we got to do? What can I do? And we're like, well, you're doing it. Fellowship with us. There's a courtship involved. We get to know you. You get to know us. And we'll build on that. So we can take a lot of positive stuff out of what happened with this. But I still get angry about it. I still get angry when I heard that there were people ridiculing the way Mark Kornke handled it. You know, and I'm still hearing people say things like that. And I'm like, yeah, you're ridiculing someone like Mark Kornke when you've never lifted a finger for the cause. Sure, you read all the magazines, you come into church, you sit around for the rap sessions and tell us all what we should be doing, but you never show up for work days, work parties, you haven't been here for one day of training. Get a lot of that. We get a lot of that. This is a time when we're separating the goats from the sheep. We're removing the husks from the wheat. Angelina is in the room. She says, good evening. Thank you for signing in. Thank you for listening, Angelina. I am looking at the chat room, by the way. I won't type in it because I can't do two things at once. I'm not a multitasker, at least that way. There's just so many people now that are starting to send me emails. What do I do? What do I do? Well, you didn't do it when I advised you in Y2K. Why should I bother messing with you now? So what do I do with those people? I'm kind of asking your advice. Well, these people who mocked the Christian worldview, the Christian militant worldview, and now they're coming back to the church, what should I do with them? What do we do with those folks? Because I still think we need to, if you listen to my first hour, you know that networking is key, especially among Christian militias. How else are we going to find national Christian leaders to follow? Right now, militias are regional. I understand that completely. I get behind that. I don't want to see a national militia leader right now. A lot of the guys in Southern California want to do that. I don't. I like being regionally oriented now, especially because we don't know how much of the military is going to go with us when this thing kicks off. So what do we do when people return? Phone number is 559-561-8225. That's 559-561-8225. How do we deal with that prodigal child? I've told you how to deal with people that are outright ridiculers of what you're doing. Confront them. Spend a few minutes, don't waste any more than that, and just say, look, your ridiculous view of the Bible means nothing to me. You need to read the Bible. Maybe throw a big old King James at him and walk away. That's how my pastor handles it when people start to argue, you know, and say we're not doctrinally sound in our militia. Somebody asked me about the 8265? No, it's 559-561-8225 if you're asking that. Yeah. So, what's up? Oh, I thought you were coming over to stick a... What is that?
Pop-Tart.
Oh, Pop-Tart. I thought you were going to stick a Pop-Tart in my ear. I'm getting a hug. Oh, she's choking me. But yeah, we're going to see a lot of this. We're going to see people falling out of fear. Right now, we're talking about our conference coming in October. We're going to have security. This time around. We're going to have people who are willing to stand in the gap for us when the protesters show up. You're on live. Who are we talking to?
Hey, Dutch.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
I was just listening. Actually, I'm going to change my statement there, what I put in the chat room.
Sure.
It's kind of like giving them a butter knife. Give them a Bible.
There you go. Give them a Bible.
And say, okay, read it. Come to terms with what it means. If you don't think the same thing, go start your own church.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, and we'll see how God blesses that activity.
Well, it's the same attitude I've got with, like, people doing a radio station. If you think you can do what Dutch is doing better,
yeah,
go out and show him up.
Exactly.
Better.
I'm always getting...
You can do better than what we're doing here at LPR.
Sure.
Show us up. do it. I want to see that.
It's not that hard to start one up. Doing it good is the hard part. Anybody can, you know, go over to Live365, plop down a credit card. Well, it's just like here on You Broadcast. Look at how many...
You Broadcast, you can start one for free. And I don't know, how many listeners do you get for free when you go to You Broadcast?
Right now you get one.
You Stream is a little better. Yeah. When I first hooked that up, we hit a cap of 50, but I'm guessing that was just a promotional.
Sure.
Because tonight we were only capping at 20.
Yeah. Well, I know, like with You Broadcast, if you look now to see how many radio stations there are on there, there's hundreds. But if you look to see if they're actually doing anything, it's like 10% are actually streaming anything.
Oh yeah.
So all these people started. There must be 50 Patriot radio stations on here, and as far as I know, we're the only ones doing it.
Uh huh.
The other ones aren't really streaming.
There you go. And, you know, if you think you can do a better job, guys, if you're going to criticize and ridicule people who are doing the job,
yeah,
getting it done, and you think you can do better, go out and do it. And I've told that to people, and some of them have come back and said, it's harder than I thought.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And there are some people who have money and resources, and they can do it with what they have without asking for help.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, some of us, we don't have the unlimited supply of funds that people think we do. We use a lot of hand-me-down equipment. I'm getting into that on my program tonight, you know, and showing people. But yeah, we are on air because of support of our listeners, both physically and monetarily. You know, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. And I'm sure it's the same boat for you.
Sure. Everything in here is either repaired, half broken, or donated. I don't think we bought anything new to get this done.
That's it. I got two new things out here in the studio. One of them's a printer that was donated, and the other is my dollar store flashlight.
We had a lot of dollar store stuff here too. We've got scanners. I think the mic mixer was bought new. The soundboard that I'm using was thrown out, and I got it working. Just by luck, and it's like a 1960s soundboard.
Yeah, you should do that. Get the chance, because I know your webcam works. Just pan around and show people the equipment you got.
Yeah, we should.
And then tell them, hey, if you've got something that you think would be better that we can use, please send it.
Yeah, yeah. If it wasn't for the Exeter Militia and the old folks at our church, we wouldn't even be on the air. Even our FM transmitter is donated until we can get another one,
mm-hmm,
you know, because ours burned up. But it's amazing the effort that could, and I tell people every time I do my show, at least once or twice a week, micro broadcasting is the way to go. And
I think that's true with internet radio too.
You know,
I was talked into upgrading and making it bigger and
mm-hmm
doing all this stuff where it all falls on our shoulders here, and I got to tell you that hurts.
Yeah.
Especially it's like when you don't get the support that you need every month and you're having to rely on more people donating than
bigger chunks,
and it becomes a headache. And you know, I don't like asking people for help. And it used to be when we originally started Liberty Tree Radio, I was able to run it by walking to Myers and picking up pop bottles, and I would have enough at the end of the month to pay to keep the stream up and running.
Yeah,
and then other people were running reflectors and a lot of little made for a bigger, you know, broader network.
Yeah, if we all share, if we share the burden.
I always tell people, it's like, I try to do as much as I can for free, and I still live by that policy, but there are things now, I'm using more computers than I was before, and I'm sure as you get into this, if you start doing more internet broadcasting, you're going to find you're going to need more than the computers that you got.
You need dedicated computers for different streams and everything.
Exactly, and you really should have one dedicated for doing archives if you're doing your own archives.
Yeah.
Because your processor power, it changes stuff, guys.
It disappears quick.
You know, and it becomes a pain in the arse. Our main computer, that's the workhorse. Granted, I have better computers, but the one that actually puts out the Live 365 stream
mm-hmm
is a 486 computer.
Yeah. I tell people that, and they don't believe me, because I think we've got like a Pentium 1 that does our FM station, and it's standalone. The Exeter guys built it for us, the Exeter Militia down the road. But the computer I'm using now was donated. The computer, everything we got is donated. In fact, some of our laptops, Lou's had to plug a keyboard into it because the keyboard on the laptop doesn't work, but we keep using it. And that's the one we use to record stuff on. So
I've got a laptop just like that. Got to plug a USB cord into the laptop to use the keyboard because the keyboard on board is fried.
Yeah. Well, we got, because you gave me some links, I found a power supply. We ordered it yesterday. And they said it'll take 4 to 5 weeks, but we're going to go from Right now we're at 40 watts on our FM. In fact, right now we're replaying today's intelligence reports, all of them. We've got them all queued up that have been archived. But as soon as we get that power supply, we're going to go, well, we're going to go up to 100 watts first. But we have more capability.
Power it up. You want to power that up slowly, and you want to be careful with that.
Yeah.
I would not take it to full power, so you're keeping your power supply
chance to break
and
in.
And your amp from action. You don't, because when you run it full, and I tried telling this to some other people in Pennsylvania who might be listening, it's really easy to burn stuff out, especially if you're in a really small and closed spot where you don't have good air conditioning.
Sure, sure.
But to fix that problem, they built a new building for their studio there. We jokingly call it Site B because they used to come and pick me up and take me down there to do work on their station every other month.
Sure. Yeah, we're basically in a converted barn with no air conditioning, poor ventilation, and we had a 60-watt exciter, I mean, that was like $2,000, that worked for 7 years, but it burned out because they ran it at full wattage the whole time. And I tell everybody, it's supposed to be like at 75%.
Yeah.
So that it'll cool. And then what I'll do is I'm probably going to go to Ramsey, because we got a resale license through Stacy, my wife's business, and get like a 4-watt exciter. That's it. And run it through the amplifier and just keep it at 1 or 2 watts.
Ramsey's a good one. You should get it in kit form and make Lou build it.
I know. I gotta train Lou in how to solder. My hand, I don't solder so well anymore. So that's a great homeschool project because we get them for 50% off because of our resale
that's
license.
That's how I started. And my original kit was an SM47, and I can't remember the name of the company.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, the Ramsey kits compared to that are a whole hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, they look good
because they've got them mapped out.
Big
they
boards.
They have the booklet that, you know, even if you don't know how to read it, they explain to you how to read the parts.
That's a great idea.
It's a lot simpler building those than it is building, you know, the raw kits.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. I'll get some kits from Ramsey, and I'm always telling people, if you wanna, I'll show you how to set it up. Buy me a pizza wherever you're at, and I've set up 3 microbrew stations in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another guy that wants us to set one up. I think it's Outpost of Freedom, he wants to call it.
Another good resource if people are interested in starting a micro FM station, I'd suggest talk to Joe McNeil.
Yeah.
He set up the Micro Effect Radio Network to support micro FM AM stations.
Sure.
If you need information on how to get a hold of parts, Joe is the person actually to talk to.
Yeah.
More so than me now because I've been so steeped in the internet radio stuff, I'm actually behind the micro FM and the micro AM stuff. There's kits and stuff that's out there now that's like way advanced than the stuff I was playing with.
Yeah, well, I've been doing pirate radio since probably 1983 when I was a teenager. And I kept telling people I'm going to do it again. And then I had somebody just say, why are you ignoring the internet? And I go, what are you talking about? They go, you can do the same thing on the internet and go international. And I was like, huh? Because I wasn't versed in computers. And this is about 5 years ago when I started doing stuff, you know, on the internet with Shoutcast. And it's very easy to do it on the internet. The only downside is that if they want to, they can shut it off easier. So it's I want to do both. We've got a shortwave transmitter back there that I've never even turned on that somebody donated. But part one of my project is
save the shortwave transmitters.
Yeah,
you know, that was one thing that when they were here, they were salivating over. They wished they could have taken it. I have a commercial shortwave transmitter that was donated to me.
Yeah, yeah. See,
I also have a commercial FM station, which thank the God wasn't here because they probably would have taken that from me.
Yeah, that's what we're using right now.
Another site that's just waiting, you know, for when stuff hits the fan, guys.
Crank it up.
Other ways that we can get out. That all we have to do are hit some switches, run a wire, and hey. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world as you know it, you know, and I love when Dad says that because I laugh because there's all this really neat, cool technology out there that
will come into play.
And alone, that will come into play once, you know, the gloves come off.
Well, people come in here and they look, and I'm a pack rat. They go, why do you have all those old CBs? Why do you have all these different power supplies? I said, because when the time comes, we're going to need them.
Hey, when I got all these old CBs, when I need to talk to you down the road, I'll just go and hook one up there, and hey, congratulations, you got a telephone again.
Yeah, yeah, people don't realize that the old technology. I got boxes of tubes that some old-timers gave me, and everybody's saying, why don't you throw out the tubes? I'm like, nuh-uh, you don't know when we're going to need them. So I'm looking.
Actually, you know, that's something else, and I need to get Monahan, the guy who donated us the mixing board that we used.
Sure.
He knows how to build tubes from scratch.
I've heard, those guys know how to bake them and everything.
He's getting old. I need to get him to do a YouTube. Just sit down and walk through and build a basic tube for everybody, show everybody how it's done, and put that up on YouTube, on ViewFlix, and everywhere so people can see it.
We got donated from somebody who doesn't want their name given out. I'm looking at them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Civil Air Patrol radios and 2 public safety radios. They were involved with the county in some way, and they've got these radios that they purchased with their own money. They didn't want them anymore. They said, well, we're going to throw them away. This person took them, stuck them in their garage for the last decade, and just gave them to us.
Yeah.
Now, this
we just covered something like that tonight when we were messing with the video stream. I was showing everybody a piece of technology that's it's from police cruiser cars. It's the modem that they use to link up to the network to, you know, check your record, whether you got a plate or whatnot. And it's high speed. It's put out by Sprint. These are brand new in the box. They were dumping them at one of the scrap yards. And one of the scrappers, who's one of our guys, said, hey, can we have those?
Right. You're gonna
and they got 500 units of these.
Oh,
on 12-volt, it's basically a low, high-speed internet connection.
Yeah.
The only problem with them is they all have GPS built in. You can go to Sprint and have them activated, or with some tinkering, you can make them talk to each other over long distances.
Just be simplex. Yeah, we've got one sitting right here in front of Lou that we don't have the computer, but it has the interface to hook one into it.
The ones that we got from them, and I got 6 of them to play with, but I got to give them back when I'm done. They're USB.
Oh wow!
So you can plug them in any computer.
Oh yeah. See, these may be older. They're Motorola, and there's a special connector for the mic. But I went online, and you can buy them, and it'll hook up into the serial connector for a computer. You know, they're a little older, but we don't know. You know, the person who gave them to me made me swear that I wouldn't turn them on unless there was a civil war.
They probably have GPS built into it too, and I'd be cautious with that. I'd do more research about that piece of equipment and find out if it has a GPS circuit. And then once you find it, go through. If you have somebody who knows how to do it, have them go through the blueprints.
And disable
figure
it.
A way to bypass it.
Yeah. Some of the older radios, the old tube-type radios they gave us that look like giant toasters, those don't have anything like that. But we do have...
Oh, but when you turn them on, people are going to talk.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, where did that come from?
They're going to be like, what the heck was that?
We also got... we had 6, but I gave one away to an old Vietnam vet. We've got some of the downed aircraft beacons from the Vietnam War.
Cool.
And when I went online, they said they still operate in the exact same frequency, and the satellites will pick them up, and they'll send an air sea rescue team there. So we're going to keep those.
I kind of took us off on a completely different
That's
path.
Fine. Like, that's
go,
fine.
Yeah, basically, if they come back to your church and they want to join, but they left because of that reason, I would put it to them that way. It's like, okay, you want to come back now? Well, you left. Show us. How you're going to do it better.
Yeah. There's something like that going on this evening. Our pastor is having dinner with a family that left that Sunday after Hutari because they freaked out. They said, you're going to be the next Hutari, and I work for this guy, and I don't want to lose my job. So the pastor called him and said, we need to talk. I want to know why you left. So hopefully there is some restoration capability there, but if not, you know, if there's a weird spirit, the pastor's just going to walk away, he said. And it's sad, but we've got to do that. We've got to protect our families.
Well, I understand some people get spooked, and they will come back later. But after you see them get spooked like that, and it doesn't even involve them, it doesn't even involve you guys, it involves a completely different group. And I know Hutari, they're good guys.
Right.
Okay? But still, you know, it didn't have anything to do with you guys in California, really.
No, not at all. Well, I know they now have our videos because we had sent a bunch of videos to Hutari, so...
Oh, yeah. I saw a bunch of your videos, too.
Yeah, so I'm sure they... But the FBI was here in the 90s.
But you know what? Everybody online also has a bunch of your videos.
Exactly.
They get a bunch of views online.
Yeah.
Hutari's videos got a bunch of views online.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to say everybody who saw that all of a sudden is like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was the other thing. People were mad at me for advertising.
I love how they make comments about what books, you know, they had. Well, okay, it's a book. What, are we in Nazi Germany all the time?
Yeah, you can't have a book.
Mind you, the one book was a book on Hitler, but whoop-de-doo. It's
I have a copy of Mein Kampf.
I've never heard you study the ways, you know, study your enemy so you know what you're going up against, but don't study
we have a copy of Mein Kampf here in our library. We have a copy of the Book of the Dead. Does that make us Egyptian zealots? No.
Yeah.
We got Jehovah's Witness books here that we study.
It's ridiculous. It's knowledge.
Yeah.
It's there for, whether it be there for research purpose or personal use, doesn't really matter. We're supposed to have the freedom of speech. We're supposed to have freedom of the press.
Yeah.
We are not in Nazi Germany. I mean, I'm sorry if somebody wants to think that way, and, you know, this might upset some people, but also, we've got freedom of religion.
Yeah.
If they want to worship a beer can, they can worship a beer can.
Yeah.
If they want to worship the pig skin and the, you know, the foam glove that they wear every Sunday when they go to a football game,
that's their choice.
Right to do that.
Yeah, they're selling themselves short. They have a right to do it, but don't tell me. That's the other thing, you know. And I'm getting a lot of grief from. I don't want to call them. They're not non-Christian militias, but they don't like the way I blend Christianity and militia, especially in Southern California with the free thinking types down there.
Well, my first question is: are they in your group?
No.
are they anywhere near you?
No. Exactly.
It's none of their business.
Yeah. You know. I'm just like,
you know,
well,
if they don't like the way they're doing it, start their own and show you how to do it better. Oh, wait,
right.
They have their own. So why are they nitpicking you guys about how you're running your group?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre, you know, but that comes with the price of me doing this on the internet, you know, and trying to do the outreach. You know, I'm going
to
get.
Well, I'm going to give you your program back. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I always say it's the modern day campfire. You're welcome to call anytime, my brother.
All right, God bless.
God bless you too, Ed.
Good evening.
And that's just the point there. I mean, people do have the right to do stupid things, don't they? It's the beauty of America. I may not like the fact that there is a Jehovah's Witness church down the street. There isn't. I may not like the fact they come and bang on my door on Saturday mornings. But they have a right to do that under the Constitution. That doesn't mean I'm going to fellowship with them. That doesn't mean I'm going to let them in my militia. I mean, you know. This is a Christian militia that we're here. People will come up and they can train with us if they're not Christian. We'll train with other groups. But to join our church and to be part of the militia, you have to be a Christian. I'm sorry. It was Jesus who said, no one gets to the Father except through me. That's awfully exclusive, don't you think? And who are we to do anything less? Just now, the enemy du jour is the Christian militia. Jaws of Life is saying, why don't they go to the Muslim camps? Because they need the Muslim camps. They need to have that threat there so they can get away with all their Patriot Act garbage. That's why. You know, they don't care that there's, you know, outright anti-American Muslim groups inside the United States. They need them there. They need to have a breeding ground for the next, you know, false flag stuff. They need to manipulate, like, Fozzie Bear, the guy who tried to set up his, whatever his name was, the moron in Times Square. I can't remember, Fozzie, la 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 la, or whatever. Just like they keep the street gangs out there. Mm-hmm. How are they gonna keep us in fear and under control if there isn't some outside entity? Just read 1984, it's all right there. Luke, cue up a song so we can go out on a song so we can do a nice soft transition if we have to. I'm real thankful that you guys are listening. I love it when people call in. Ed can call in anytime. Any of you can call. Just because I pick a topic to go with it, but if you've got something that's relevant to the cause in general, we can talk about it. I would love to do a whole show on how to set up a pirate radio station. Give you the links, walk you through it, talk you through it, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, the poop bomber. But it doesn't matter to me what you guys want to talk about as long as it's pertinent to the cause of liberty. I mean, if you call up and want to tell me that your neighbor came in and, you know, its dog just, you know, dug up your flowers, I'll be like, okay, that's fine, but, you know, that doesn't really help us all in the global issues of liberty, right? Or at least in the national level. So this is a modern-day campfire. You guys are just as much a part of the show as I am. Without you, there would be no show, and that doesn't even mean the people that donate the money to keep the show on the air, which we do need more donations, and you can do that at dutchjones.tk or directly to Liberty Tree Radio and just let them know that it's for the Dutch Jones Show. And there's little chip-ins on both those websites. It's libertytreeradio.4mg.com?
Yeah,
libertytreeradio.4mg.com. And just make a note that it's for the Dutch Jones Show. And if you guys want to send them a bunch of money and I'll be paid up for several months in advance, that'd be great. Cut out the middleman. If you want to donate directly to this cause for the whole two-hour show, then you do it at dutchjones.tk. We're all part of the same flow of consciousness. We're all part of the same cause. We're all in this as Christian soldiers trying to restore the republic, right? I just wish Michigan was a little closer, don't you? I mean, it's sad that we're so spread out. I look at this list of people, Pennsylvania, Southern California, Oregon, Michigan. I don't know where Angeline is, Texas, and then unknown people on Liberty Radio Live. Liberty Tree Radio. Thank you, Lou. You know, we're all spread out. That makes it all so much more important that we communicate. That's why I have, you know, so many levels of communication. I've got 150 megahertz rigs here. I've got shortwave rigs here. I've got 50 megahertz rigs here. I've got a commercial transmitter for FM. I got an AM transmitter. This message is going to get out. But right now we have the luxury of being able to communicate openly like this on the internet, and I want to exploit it. I want to exploit it to its fullest, folks. Let the enemy be stupid and let me keep talking, okay? But it does cost some ferns, so we need some support there. Pray for our vehicles. It's just like every time we get a little bit of money, something else breaks. We were going to buy a Ruger 1022 for Lou this week, but now we can't. I got 2 minutes. Go ahead and roll the music. Keep it low. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. I need you to Google that. The Church at Cahuilla. Go to YouTube, look up the Church at Cahuilla, watch the Teach Them War teaser there. You can go on to eBay and get a video there for like $3 to Teach Them War. You can get it from the church for, I think, 10 or 15. You know, it's part of the tithe. You can go to dutchjones.tk, and you can see all the links there, the things we support, what we believe, a little bit of humor there. You know, we're not always so serious. Lou tries to find funny videos or pertinent videos and throw them up. Don't forget, Don't Tread on Me is out. Find it, buy it. It's a little long. The message is good. It's something that you need to see, especially if you want to use it as a tool to reach others. So with that, I'm going to be back to Monday. Tune in at our U-Broadcast site. We're going to have the America's Providential History audio up, America's Providential History from the last Bible study. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. And unless we are Coram Deo, there will be no victory or restoration of America. Thank you for listening. I love you all, man. Round the world, truth will echo. Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons.